a struggle. Psalm 103, if we can turn there this morning, Psalm 103. Psalm 103 expresses much blessing that comes our way through God. Psalm 103, verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." And may the Lord add his blessing and help us to do just that, to bless the Lord this morning. I want to read from Romans chapter 10, verse 13, from the Karen Bible this morning. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. It's a relatively short verse. It's interesting, in the Karen language, some words are short compared with English, and then it's the other way around. Sometimes one Karen word will cover a number of English words, and sometimes one English word will be covered by a number of Karen words. But Per Boo tells me that the Karen language is very easy, and so that's good. I'm glad it's easy. I haven't yet found it all that easy, but we're getting used to it a little bit. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. Romi asadu dasi asapor dursi fur. Aridi gurje boilur agor tor kasa amine gur delur darugi korgi or law. For whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm going to just raise a question at that point. I have asked Per Boo what this is in Karen. The question is this: when did you get saved? And in Karen, it's Nursato Gi Korgi Pillai. When did you get saved? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to gather once again around the Word of God. And Lord, may we do as the psalm writer exhorted us, to bless the Lord with all our soul. Lord, bless you for who you are. Bless your holy name. Bless you, Lord. Help us not to forget all your benefits. To bless you, Lord, and join with all creation in blessing our great God who is worthy. Father, bless our time in your word, I pray. In the Lord Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want to ask the question this morning, bearing in mind verse 2 from Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I want to ask this question, how thankful are you that you're saved? How thankful are you that you're saved? I mean, you're just thankful, or are you very thankful, or you're just kind of medium thankful this morning? How thankful are you that you are saved? You know, I was thinking about this and had opportunities to talk to different ones during the week, and there was two or three hymns that came to my mind last night and this morning, and I wanted just to kind of open up our message with a couple of verses from them, because it very much gets across, I think, what I'm trying to get across this morning. In hymn 105, we're not going to sing it, but I'll just read some of the words. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Saviour speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. There are millions in this world who are craving the pleasure earthly things afford, but none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ, my Lord. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole. And then there's another one in 343. It's a very old, familiar hymn, 343. And says this, I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, where springs of living water did abound. How sweet the living water from the hills of God! It makes me glad and happy all the way. Now glory, grace, and blessing mark the path I've trod. I'm shouting hallelujah every day, drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now am I. My soul they satisfy. Drinking at the springs of living water, oh wonderful and bountiful supply. And there's one other that I thought about in all this too, with a similar theme, a similar message. 298 says this, all my life long I had panted for a drink from some cool spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Feeding on the husks around me till my strength was almost gone, long my soul for something better, only still to hunger on. Well of water ever springing, bread of life so rich and free, untold wealth that never faileth, my Redeemer is to me. Hallelujah, I have found him. Whom my soul so long has craved, Jesus satisfies my longings through his blood. I now am saved. How thankful this morning are you and I to be saved. I want to look at four people in the scriptures, which I believe will be helpful for us to realize what we're saved from. Amen. Start in John chapter 4, and these are not unfamiliar people. But I trust as we just give a couple of thoughts to them this morning, they'll be a blessing to you and to help you to realize. The woman at the well is someone who was seeking. Remember that first hymn I read. And try different things. And so it is out there. People in the world are trying all sorts of things. In John chapter 4 and verse 15. Maybe just the verse or two before. When the Lord Jesus was talking to her about water, verse 11, the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? He's offered her some living water. And art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. This woman says, I have been thirsting for years. Thirsting for years. And now you're offering me some living water. Can you give me some of that water to drink? Jesus said unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. This woman was thirsting. Her soul was thirsty. There was a void in her life which she was trying to fill through relationships. The Lord Jesus said to go and get your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. And the Lord Jesus said, that's exactly right. He said, but I know this, you've had five husbands and right now you're living with someone. You say, what was her problem? She was trying to fulfill that thirst in her life through relationships. Somehow or other in her thinking, she thought, if I could just find the right man, then my life will be satisfied. I'll somehow be able to quench this thirst. If I could wake up in the morning and see him smile nicely at me and give me flowers or whatever and just say nice words, then I'm sure that this craving, this thirst that I have will be satisfied. So she had five husbands. Found out that didn't work. So she thought, well, we'll try living with someone. That wasn't working. She was still thirsty. You say, why? Because she said that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She said, Sir, give me this water. I am thirsting. There is a thirst in my soul. All my life long I had panted for a drink from some cool springs that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. And so it is with every person outside of Christ. There is that thirst, that longing that nothing and no one can quench or fill but the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This hunger and thirst that is inherent in every man, woman, and child outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this woman is thirsty and she is trying to quench this thirst through a relationship. We've got people in the world today in multitudes doing exactly the same thing. How many people do you know who have heard of have been married 2, 3, 4 times and more? You say, how does that happen? Well, there's a lot of reasons, of course, but one of the key things is they are thirsting. Their soul is thirsting and they are trying to fill that void. They are trying to quench that thirst through relationships. And they think, somehow, if I could just find the right person. Well, the right person is available. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one, if we come to him, he gives us living water. He is the one who says, he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Shall never thirst. There are other people out there today and they have all sorts of ways of trying to quench that thirst. Some of them do it literally through alcohol. Some of them do it through sport and fame. And there's this inner thirst, this inner hunger. And they're trying all these things. And none of them are satisfying. Or sometimes they work for a little while. They do have a certain numbing effect for a little while. But not for very long. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can give living water. And if we're saved today, we ought to thank God for the living water that he gives us. We don't thirst the way other people thirst out there who don't know the Lord. Have a look in Mark chapter 5. Here's a man who's well known and he was in all sorts of trouble. Mark chapter 5. The Bible tells us of this man here in chapter 5, verse 1 of Mark. They came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. When he was come out of the ship, immediately met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because it had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Here's a man who is being tormented by these demons. Tormented day and night, being tormented by them. They've given him this supernatural strength, but that hasn't solved his problem. So he can snap a few chains, so he can snap a few locks, so he can do that. That hasn't helped him at all. That's only brought him into further bondage, because even he's got this incredible strength that doesn't help him solve the inner cravings. And so he's tormented by these devils. And the Lord Jesus comes to him. And the Lord Jesus addresses the devil to him. You know, there's people today like that who've got devils in them. You say, do you know any? I'll be careful how to say it, but I think I've come across some who have devils in them. And they are in torment. Mentally in torment. See, the devil's a very hard taskmaster. The devil offers you the kingdoms of the world and gives you a handful of sand, which runs out your fingers anyway. And there are people today like this man who are in Glenside because they've got devils in them. And they're trying to solve it with giving them a few tablets and a few shock treatments and a few other things, and that's not helping them at all. It's making them seven times the child of the devil. There's only one who can deliver from that situation. The Bible says of this man that the devils were cast out of him. The Lord Jesus cast them out, verse 13. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city, in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see that him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Imagine that. Here's this man who was tormented day and night, living up in the tombs, a crazy man. People would keep away from him. They would be frightened of him. He is so crazy. He's slashing himself with rocks, cutting himself. Anytime they did try and chain him down, he busted the chains. I mean, here is a maniac. And in this insane condition that he's in, he is tormented by these devils, and the Lord Jesus comes along to him. And we find him sitting and clothed in his right mind. What a blessing. What a blessing. When I read that, I don't see anybody out there that God couldn't save. Amen. When I read of this fella here, I think of people and I think, Lord, you could save him. You could save them. There are people today, you know, who are tormented out there in the world, but maybe not by devils directly, but they're tormented by their past. Something that happened in their childhood, some terrible tragedy, some wicked thing that was done to them, should never have been done to them by any other human being, and it torments them. And they can't get it out of their mind, and they keep rerunning it and reliving it and rerunning it and reliving it and rerunning it, and they get nowhere fast. And so we call them schizophrenic or bipolar or whatever we do, and we give them a few pills to pop, and so that should solve it. It doesn't solve anything. It just makes them numb and meaningless. But when they come to the Lord Jesus, as this man did, they can find themselves clothed in their right mind. Sitting down. No more torment. At peace at last. Imagine. Imagine what must have gone through his mind, that man. What he was, and now he's sitting in alongside the Lord Jesus. What do you think might have been going through his mind? Well, let's suggest something at least. Let's read a little further, verse 16. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, notice this, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed that he might be with him. He said, Lord, can I go with you? Can I be with you? And he's now clothed in his right mind. He just wants to go wherever the Lord is. He just wants to be with the Lord now. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish it. He said, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. You tell me, what do you want me to do? I want to be with you, but if there's something else that you'd have me do, then just tell me. He said, I'll do it. And the Lord said, yeah, go home. And you go back there and you tell your friends and tell them how great things that I've done, had compassion on you. Imagine. Yeah, the man who's tormented day and night in the tombs, cutting himself, tormented. And again, there are people today who've got emotional scars from the past, and they torment them, and they torment them, and they torment them. I was talking to a man during the week about some of these issues, and I said, you know what? The only way you're going to be able to resolve that is to get saved. I said, if anybody says to you, just forget about it, they are fooling you. They are fooling themselves. You cannot just forget about it. You need to face the fact that you cannot just forget it. I said, but let me tell you this. By the grace of God, you can forget it in the sense that they will not trouble you again. They will not torment you. You'll be able to look those things in the face. You'll be able to look those people in the face and forgive them for what they did to you. And you'll no longer be in chains and bondage, and you will be set free. But the only one who can do that is the Lord Jesus. You need to be saved. You need to trust him as your Saviour. The Bible says in Hebrews 9, verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Those things back there that haunted you today, those things that drive you crazy sometimes if you stop to ponder too long upon them, those thoughts and scars, emotional scars, they can be dealt with through the blood of Christ. And our conscience can be purged. Instead of this constant guilt and shame and everything else, can be cleansed away. Cleansed away. And be clothed in your right mind. Have a look in Luke chapter 19. You see another man here. The Sunday school song talks about this wee little man called Zacchaeus. The Bible says he was short in stature. In fact, the words are little. Verse 3 of Luke 19. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature, only a short man. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He made haste. The Lord Jesus recognized, here's a man who's got a thirst. Here's a man who's unfulfilled. Here's a man who's got a hunger inside. You say, how do you know? I'll show you in a minute what I believe. That's the case. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Think about this man. This man had put up with all sorts of ridicule and abuse from his countrymen. Why? Because he was a tax collector. And tax collectors were despised. Because these people were on the payroll of the Romans. And from what I've read about it, oftentimes they would not only collect the tax for the Romans, they'd collect a little extra for themselves along the way. And there was nothing the people could do too much about it, otherwise they faced the wrath of the Roman government. And so there was all sorts of corruption and everything else. And so he's a man who's been abused and criticized and hated by many. But he comes to the Lord Jesus and now receives him joyfully. And when they saw it, they murmured, saying that he was going to be a guest with a man that's a sinner. Notice this, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. You say, what was the hunger and the thirst that he had? I believe that he knew that he was leading a corrupt lifestyle. He knew that those accusations about him by the crowd were correct. He was doing things that he ought not to have done. And there were times when that bothered him. But because of the money and because of the certain prestige he had, he continued in that, but now he's set free from that. He doesn't need that anymore. He doesn't have to fleece people anymore. He doesn't have to illegally take money from people anymore. In fact, more than that, he wants to give back what he's taken illegally. You see, he was trying to fill this void in his life through accumulating money and through ill-gotten gain, but it wasn't satisfying. It wasn't meeting those inner needs that he had. And then there's one more man in Mark chapter 10. The first three we read about actually came to the Lord and got saved. But this man, sadly not, at least in the account we read. And he had a problem too. And he recognized it but wouldn't face it. In Mark chapter 10. Verse 13. Sorry, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So he recognizes that there's something missing in his life. He knew that he didn't have eternal life. Something is missing. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honour thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. The Lord said, here's some tests for you, young man. Keep the commandments. You want to get eternal life? You keep all the commandments. And by the way, if you're able to keep all the commandments, that would bring you eternal life. The only problem is none of us are able to keep all the commandments all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from the first breath we take until the last breath. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's why there's this thirst and hunger there, because our relationship with God is not right. It's our sin that separates us from God. And this man had this sense that he wasn't right with God. He had this sense that as popular as he was and as moral as he was and as wealthy as he was, there was something missing in his life. He didn't have eternal life. He didn't have that right relationship with God. You remember the Lord Jesus defined eternal life, and this is life eternal. They might know thee. Eternal life is having a relationship with the God who created all things through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this man is challenged to give it away. So what was that going to do? How was that going to earn him eternal life? The Lord Jesus was being very gracious here and trying to help him to see what his real problem was. The Bible says in verse 22, and he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. The Lord Jesus said, you need to sell it and give it away. He says, is that how you get saved? No, that's not how you get saved. The Lord Jesus is leading to salvation here, but he has to deal with what the idol or the God in his life is first, so that he can then bring him to salvation. Notice what the Bible says. Jesus looked around about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? The disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. You say, what's the problem? The problem is there in verse 24. Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches? The young man was trusting not in his morality, and he was a moral man. He said, I've kept all the commandments. He was trusting in his riches, somehow believing that that was going to get him into heaven. How hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter in? Now, it depends where you put the emphasis there. Those that trust in riches to enter in, or those that trust in riches to enable them to enter in. Either one, he's wrong. He's looking to his riches. He's seen that as God's blessing, and therefore he must get into the kingdom. And yet within him is this thirst and this hunger that says, but you don't have eternal life. The Lord says, I want to highlight why you don't. You're trusting in your riches. Now, sell it all, give it away. And that'll show you where you're really at. And he was sorrowful. And so what's the problem? He's trying to solve this thirst and this hunger through possessions, through owning possessions. And our world is full of people today who are buying every gadget and gizmo that the shops and as fast as they can produce them and put them on the shelf, people are buying them. And they want the latest and the greatest and the fastest and the biggest and the best and everything else, somehow believing the lie that that will bring satisfaction for their life. Won't work. Been there, done that. I got to the place where I could walk in and buy a brand new Ford Fairmont off the showroom floor. Say, how much? They said, and he's kind of looking at me, thought I was joking. I said, how much? He told me how much it was. I said, can I take it for a test drive? He said, you got a gold one? He said, I haven't got a gold one. I said, what do you got? He said, I've got one of these sea blue ones. I said, that'll do. If it's any good, I'll take it for a drive. Went round the block, came back, said, I'll have it. He said, boy, that must have given you some satisfaction. It did for a few hours. And then I realised a few days later, now I've got a second-hand car on my hands. Not only that, a week or two later, my wife's up at Tea Tree Plaza and some kind person went down the passenger side back mud garden door with a key and put nice scratches down this nice Ford Fairmont. You say, if I had enough money to do that, I'd be really happy. I'd already done it, and so now I think I probably should have got a bigger car or a better car. So you say, what'd you do? I went down to the Mercedes dealership in Adelaide. And I walked into the Mercedes dealership, and I walked around there and had a look, and I was looking at this new 250SC. That stage, they were about $53,000, you're talking 30 years ago. And walked around there, looked at that, kicked the tire a bit, and the salesman came up and he said, can I help you, sir? I said, oh, just have a look around, see what are these things like? He said, oh, you know, they're quite good cars. And I said, right, tell me about it. And he said, we'd like to go for a ride in one. I said, that'd be lovely, yes. So I jump in this new 250SC Mercedes and we go driving down past the race course there up near East Terrace in Adelaide. And he was showing me how impressive it was. And it was impressive. I mean, you're talking 30-odd years ago, the technology was pretty good even then for Mercedes. He pulled over onto the road. There was no footpath, but there was some metal. You had the wire fence, you know, strung wire fence, then the race course. And then there was a strip of metal about so wide, white metal, and then the bitumen, no curb or anything. So he pulled over till we're nearly clipping the fence posts. We were driving down the road there, and he says, what's this? And he hit the brakes. Now, you know, when you've got uneven surfaces and all that kind of stuff, you could expect some problems. He hit the brakes and it just stopped dead straight. I said, boy, that's pretty impressive. He said, yeah, they got this new technology now where all the brakes are computerised and it makes an immediate adjustment for the different road surfaces and everything like that so you don't skid or do anything like that. I said, boy, that's pretty good. That's nice. He said, what do you think about it? I said, well, you know, I need to talk to my wife about it. And he said, oh, really? I said, yeah, that'd be good. And I said, would it be all right if I took it for a ride in one? He said, yeah, that'd be okay. And so I pick up my wife and go back to the dealership. And I said, oh, we're here. We come for that ride. And he said, yeah, here's the key. So off we go. We go for up there in the Adelaide Hills, burn around this new Mercedes, took her back to the car yard and said, thanks very much for that. He said, so what do you think? I said, oh, they're pretty good. I said, I don't have the cash right now to pay it out, right? But he said, I'll give it a bit of a thought. Thanks very much. And walked out. You say, what are you saying? I was thinking that if you just had the big enough car and the fanciest car, maybe that would solve the desires and the hungers. That would satisfy. At last, I've arrived. I've got a big new Mercedes and all is well. The only trouble with that is you look up the line, there's a Rolls Royce. Oh, maybe I should go for a Rolls Royce. And on, in other words, what am I saying? Things don't satisfy. This rich young ruler with all his wealth was not satisfied. Now for him, he foolishly clung on to those riches. He foolishly clung on to that wealth, which stopped him from entering into the kingdom. There are those who are tormented in their relationships from the past, tormented with emotional scars. There are those who are just thirsting, trying to fill that void like the woman at the well. There are others who have lived a corrupt lifestyle like Zacchaeus, and they know it, and they know that's not right. And then there's others like the rich young ruler who are trying to fill their lives with things and possessions. Feeding on the husks around me till my strength was almost gone, longed my soul for something better, only still to hunger on. That's what it is without the Lord, amen. How thankful are you this morning that you're saved? Now, I just want to close with talk to the young people a moment. First of all, young person, are you saved? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour? Do you know for sure that if you were to die right now, you would go to heaven? As Paul said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Are you saved? Do you know for sure that you are saved? In Karen, it would be Ner Sato Ergi Korgi Pele. When did you get saved? You say, well, I'm saved, Pastor. Good. How thankful are you that you're saved? Because as I thought about this message this morning, it's easy for me to relate to it. Because I've been in the torment stage. I've been in the relationship stage. I've been in the dodgy business stage. I've been in the possessions will do it stage. And none of it satisfies. But if you get saved at a young age, you say, I don't relate to any of that. Let me try and help you to relate to it. Let me ask you a question. Do you live on a rubbish dump today? No. Are you thankful that you don't live on a rubbish dump? Well, yeah, I'm thankful. Good. Good. Are you saved today? Good. Be thankful you never lived on a rubbish dump in the past. Be thankful for that. I know when I was thinking about this, and Sharon won't mind me saying, I'm sure, Sharon's very thankful for the car she has. A gift from the Lord. A blessing from the Lord. And she's very thankful. But you say, how could she be thankful? Because she never did own an old wreck that never was any good. You don't have to own an old wreck that's no good to be thankful for what God gives you, amen. You don't have to live on the rubbish dump to be thankful for what's given. You don't have to go through the torment and the emotional scars and the striving for fame and fortune and everything else to be thankful that you haven't been there. Young person, if you're saved, thank God you haven't been down that track, amen. Thank God you can't say, I was like the man at Gadara, tormented. Thank God you're not like that woman who's had five husbands and on a sixth relationship and still not happy. Thank God you're not like Zacchaeus, who was hated and despised by people and was corrupt in his dealings. Thank God you're not hindered like that young man was by his riches. Thank God for that. Thank God he saved you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you and I praise you and bless you, Lord, for the great things that you've done, the great salvation which is ours in the Lord Jesus, as Paul could put it. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Lord, we've looked at some people in your word today who had all sorts of problems in their lives. Three of them responded rightly, and those inner thirsts and hungers were quenched and dealt with, and one foolishly turned away. Father, the number of people that's here this morning, it's quite possible there may be someone here this morning who's not saved. Lord, you know the hearts of all men. Well, we can put on something on the exterior to give the appearance maybe even of being saved. Maybe even use some of the talk. But Lord, you know our hearts. And Father, if there's someone here this morning who's not saved, I pray, Lord, that there's been enough said that they would see the folly of not coming and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Saviour, if not repenting of their sin. They might see how foolish that would be, like that rich young ruler. But they might come as the man at Gadara and as the woman at the well and as Zacchaeus, come to the Lord Jesus and be saved. They might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, have their sins forgiven, and be born again into the family of God. Then, Father, for God's people, that we might be truly thankful. Lord, for myself, I can relate to these people and thank you for what you've saved me from. And Lord, we haven't even looked really, in a sense, what you've saved us to this morning. But Lord, just so thankful that I'm saved. May each of us, Lord, be thankful for our salvation and those who are saved. But again, Lord, if there's someone who's not saved, then Lord, I pray for them that they would talk to someone before they leave today about the need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Saviour. Bless the young people, Lord, who have been saved at a young age. May they get a little fresh insight, Lord, to be thankful they haven't been on the rubbish dump. To be thankful how you've blessed them. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.